Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we're so glad you're connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the message.
So what are you willing to forgive? What are you willing to forgive? Perhaps your little one, who did that very same thing that you said, no toques, do not touch. Or maybe that child that broke curfew, or your husband or your wife who arrived late for dinner. What are you willing to forgive? Your parents for being workaholics, the teacher who is mean and seems to take it out on you, your children who disregard your request, your boss who overlooks your capacity. ¿Qué estás dispuesto a perdonar? Will you forgive the silence of those who should be speaking? Will you forgive those who watched and watched from a distance, not engaging or coming to your defense? What are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to forgive the lies, the anger, the insult, the abuse? Will you forgive the intentional and unintentional biases, the racial and discriminatory acts? How about adultery or unfaithfulness? What is your degree of forgiveness? Perdón, forgiveness. So my daughter is quite the fan of Hamilton, the Broadway. So for Mother's Day, she decided that it would be good to make the offer of us going to be able to celebrate Mother's Day and watch the Broadway show of Hamilton in Chicago. I had already watched it before with my wonderful husband, Dan, for Valentine's Day, and then now was the proposal to be able to watch it for Mother's Day. It's a great performance, a great cultural experience. And there's one particular scene in this Broadway show that captures my attention like no other. It's really interesting to me because there's a lot that is happening on the stage all at once. And from the top view, you see something. From the bottom, you see something different. And there's a lot of action taking place. But in this particular scene, both times that I have watched it, and every time I hear the song, and trust me, if you have a 13-year-old, you will understand, because it plays over and over and over and over again on her Spotify. Every time I hear this particular song, something pauses. It's the scene. There's been some unfaithfulness. Following the unfaithfulness, there's been the death of a son. Wrong timing, wrong reasons, difficult scenario. There are moments that the words don't reach. Song says, there's a grace too powerful to name. We push away what we can never understand. We push away the unimaginable. And they are standing in the garden, Alexander by Eliza's side. And she takes his hand and she says, it's quiet uptown. And the choir chimes in singing, forgiveness. Can you imagine? Forgiveness. Can you imagine? Forgiveness. Can you imagine? What have you been forgiven of this morning? As you pause to reflect upon your own life, your own journey, your own road trip, what have you been forgiven of? I know it's not the best English. And Spanish is so much easier to say that. ¿De qué has sido perdonado? What have you been forgiven of? Did you say things that you have regretted and you should have never said? And you've been forgiven. mean things, things that without considering other people, they have hurt them. Lives that have been destroyed because of things that you have done. Forgiven. Can you imagine? Have you been forgiven of taking matters into your hands and doing all kinds of stuff? Forgiven of abuse, of drugs, of violence, whatever it may be, adultery, murder. From whatever spectrum, from whatever perspective, forgiven. What have you forgiven? What have you been forgiven of? I propose to you this morning that we don't take enough time to ponder upon the forgiveness that we have received. And really, in the passage for this morning, which is Luke 7, 36 through 38, 48 and 50, in between, sandwiched in between those particular verses that I have chosen, is this statement that Jesus makes that when you forgive, you love a lot. And that forgiveness provokes the sense to love a lot. I must tell you that I have no idea what the woman in this passage has been forgiven of, but she has experienced the forgiveness by the master forgiver. And the word of God says in Lucas 7, 36 al 38, 48 y 50, en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Amén. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. So Jesus went into Pharisee's house and sat at the table. But the sinful woman in the town, she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she brought in an alabaster jar of perfume and she stood behind Jesus at his feet crying. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. And then she dried them away with her hair, kissing them many, many times, kissing and kissing and kissing them many times, and rubbing them with perfume. Can you capture that image? And Jesus says to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Perdonada. And Jesus said to the woman, "Because you believed, you are saved from your sins. Go in peace." First thing I want you to capture as you hear the words of that passage is that forgiveness is not for a particular group of people. Forgiveness is for everyone. It is for you and it is for me. It was for the Pharisee who received Jesus in his home. And might I tell you that it is important for you to denote that just a few chapters before these verses, the Pharisees are trying to figure out how they trick Jesus because he's going around the cities and the towns doing things that do not align with what the Pharisees believed was supposed to happen. The Pharisees were the religious people. They're trying to protect the way that they believe that that things are going to come into fruition according to the will of their God, of their Yahweh. And the way that Jesus is going about stuff does not align with the way that they understand those things should happen. So there's this tension. The fact that the Pharisee invites Jesus into his home is a big deal all within itself. Is he trying to set up Jesus or is he just trying to get to know Jesus? He invites Jesus. Forgiveness is for the Pharisee. Forgiveness was for the Pharisee. Forgiveness continues to be for the religious leaders of our time and of our day, for those of us who continue to profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and still walking in some kind of framework and in some kind of mindset that does not necessarily align with the reason Jesus came in the first place. Perdón, forgiveness. And I mean, the scripture refers to her as a sinful woman. It's not a woman. Don't lose sight of that. It is a sinful woman. There is a descriptor that is intentionally attached to this woman to express the fact that this woman was not living not only in alignment with what the Pharisees thought should have happened, but she was doing her own thing. Sin had taken over her life. Sin had taken over the way that she lived out her day and day out. Forgiveness is for the Pharisee. Forgiveness for the sinful woman. Forgiveness for you. Forgiveness for me. It's forgiveness for those that are gathered in the Nagpur campus. It is forgiveness for those who are in Kent County Juvenile Detention Center, the staff and the students there. It's for those of you who are tuning in via live stream or online. It's for those of you who are gathered in different places here. It's for people from different cultural backgrounds. It's from people who speak different languages. It's for people from different economical. Forgiveness is for us. There is no us and them in forgiveness. Forgiveness is for everyone. I love, you've been reading the book by Kevin Myers, Grown Up Faith. And he talks about forgiveness as a concept of being rescued, of being saved from something. That something, my fam, sometimes includes me. It's me being rescued from myself. I often say, I praise the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation that he has extended to me, for the forgiveness of my sin and the recognition that consistently I end up putting my foot in my mouth and God has needed to rescue me from different things that I cannot recognize at the moment that inhibit my relationship with God and create a distance between you and I. Humanity and I. Forgiveness. Sin leads to death. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And if it leads to death, it leads to this spiritual death, to this separation between who we are and who God desires to be. And even though it is God's desire to extend that forgiveness to us, it is contrary to God's nature to just say, forgiven, done, and us not to receive that forgiveness and for a transformation to take place in our lives. It is that moment, as Kevin Meyer describes, where that curtain in Happy Easter is torn from the top down. It is an indication that even right now, as you hear the words come out of my mouth, that God has the capability, that the Spirit of God can make use of those words and transform them in such a way where he is calling you to forgiveness. Forgiven. That is what God wants you to have. Forgiveness is what God desires for you to stand forgiven, perdonado. Oh no, it's not for me. It's not something I'm keeping to myself. It is initiated by God for us. Forgiveness. But here it is. Man, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I had time to tell you what the Lord has done in my life. How he's changed me and healed me. My daughter's 13 years old. Doctor said I would never have a child, but the doctor of doctors had another plan. I can believe God. I can believe God for things you can't even begin to imagine. I have come to recognize, like you have come to recognize, that none of those things are possible in our lives without the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that it requires a posture. And I say that your posture is a prelude to forgiveness. And I want to be able to focus on the fact that in verse 37b, the sinful woman enters into the house. She's not even invited. Scripture doesn't tell us that she received the same kind of invitation that Jesus received. What it tells us is that she heard through the grapevine. She heard through the grapevine that Jesus was there, and she shows up uninvited. And when you read that passage of verse 38, it says, she stood behind Jesus at his feet. Jesus walked into the house. And it says that there's a table and he reclines on the table. I don't know if I can get in that image of, I want you to take a quick look at this image. Because sometimes in our mind, we have the images that are current, that are contemporary for us today. But during the time of Jesus, this is the way that they ate. And you may not be able to see with great clarity that there's some quilts and some mattresses or some things that are laid down. Sometimes they were like some couches that were laid down. But you see that everyone's feet are extended out. They're not sitting on chairs like we traditionally would do at the dinner table. They are laying down to have dinner. I don't know, it's a little different concept, perhaps even uncomfortable for some of you, but this is the way that it traditionally took place. Why do I show you that image? Because I want you to understand that when Scripture says that this sinful woman walks in with her alabaster jar and her perfume, that she stands behind Jesus. So when I read the passage, it says she stands behind Jesus and she begins to cry, and I'll get to that, right? She begins to cry and it falls on his feet. I was like, how does that happen? Somebody help me out here. If he is sitting, it means the feet are in front of him. And so how do her tears make it to the feet? It's because he's not sitting. It's because he is at the table in the traditional way that it was important to be at the table during that time. So when she stands behind them, she's not trying to go in front of him, she is standing behind him. And his feet is extended out. Now you must capture that during this time, my friends, it was typical for the feet of the men to be washed, because they would be walking and dust would cover their feet. And it was typical as part of the tradition of the hospitality that the feet would be washed. The feet of Jesus have not been washed. But when this sinful woman walks in with her alabaster jar, uninvited, perhaps even pretentious, she walks in with her alabaster jar. And, you know, I try to remove myself from this passage and what I know and what I read in other gospels about it. I think my first impression is like, yeah, she's cool and she knows what she's doing. But the reality is that as soon as you read that she is at the feet of Jesus and tears are coming down her face to the degree that they wet the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm an ugly crier. I don't know if anybody else here will admit it, whether or not they're an ugly crier or not. But this madam here, yo no lloro lindo. I'm an ugly crier. When I cry, I cry. And trust me, I cry. And I cry about things that I shouldn't be crying about. I still cry. I'm an emotional, very emotional being. I have to pause and think about what amount of tears must be flowing from the eyes of this woman that they would cover the feet of Jesus with tears? Can you think about that a second? I mean, this is not a drop where you just kind of, oh, I got this. No, this woman is in tears. They're flowing down her face. I don't know what she's being forgiven of, but whatever it is, whatever sin was inhabiting her life has taken complete control of her at this moment. And she has understood that someone has walked into her life that could bring about a change. So her posture here is one where she walks in uninvited into a scenario with her alabaster rock behind Jesus. And she begins to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears. And has often been assumed that she was taking the perfume. It has often been assumed that she could have taken water and began to wash the feet of Jesus, because that would be the typical or the traditional thing to do. But in this place, it is her tears that are replacing the traditional form of washing the feet of Jesus. And then it says that she dries the feet of Jesus with her hair. So she's behind Jesus' feet are there. Her tears are pouring down. Jesus is still looking forward Actually, the place where he is seated is in the place of dignity and honor, so the Pharisee has recognized that. And her tears are coming on Jesus, and she begins to wipe. With her hair, she begins to dry the feet of Jesus. I'm okay with kissing the feet of a little baby. It's so cute, tan lindo, tan bello. This is a grown man. This is a grown man who has been walking distances at work. And something in her compels her to such a degree, my brother Curtis, that not only is she letting her tears flow in front of this group of people, not only is she using her very own hair to dry the feet of Jesus, now she begins to kiss the feet of Jesus. And this posture of coming down to begin to kiss the feet of Jesus, and scripture says she does this over and over and over again. Kissing the feet of Jesus and then taking her alabaster jar, the most priceless possession that she owns. It is the thing of greatest value that she owns and that she has been reserving, and she uses it to rub the feet of Jesus, to massage the feet of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you that this is extreme. That the action of being able to use her entire self, from her head to her hair, to everything who she is, to be able to pour that perfume, that costly perfume, in order to rub, massage, perhaps anoint the feet of Jesus, is significant. Her posture is a prelude to forgiveness. This is not the sight of a woman who is trying to be shy, who is trying to hide, who is trying to pretend. Because fam, sometimes we find ourselves in sinful situations and the tendency is to go and hide and pretend and cover it up and put it under the rug and try and act as if nothing is going on in our lives, even though we know that there's this stirring, there's this understanding, that there's this need that we have to come clean, at least before the presence of God. But the natural tendency is to separate ourselves, and instead of allowing the tears to flow, to say, don't cry, I'm not gonna cry, I won't do it, no lloraré. To pull our hair back and stand up tall and pretend as if nothing is going on in our lives. But fam, our posture is a prelude to forgiveness. This woman ushers in her entire self before the presence of God, offering who she is, what she has done, and what she has to the only person that she perhaps sensed could extend that forgiveness. What's your posture, man? What's your posture? Forgiveness is the gift that God has bestowed to us. It goes hand in hand with our salvation. It is what we believe continuously happens so that we might walk the sanctified life. It is a beautiful treasure that we have been extended and that we have the opportunity to position ourselves before the very presence of God to stand forgiven. I was recently in I fly a lot, and I was on a plane, and about 5 or 6 seats in front of me, there's this commotion, you hear this screaming, and you see people waving their hands all around, and we couldn't make sense of what was happening. Flight attendants are running from the back and from the front to come to this place, and there's all of this commotion is happening. We're already too far to go back to the ground, and we're all concerned. We have no idea, did someone get into some kind of fist fight? Did something happen here? Completely taken by surprise. A gentleman had fainted on the plane, and the family was hysterical, and of course trying to get whatever he needed so that he might be rescued at that moment from his health condition. It made me start thinking about those moments, those unexpected moments, those times when situations happen in our life, be it health, be it as a result of accidents, be it as a result of the departure of someone significant in our lives. Those situations where they're sticky and we find ourselves at a loss in some form or fashion, where we need to be rescued. And I started to think about this family, the daughters, the granddaughters, the people that were traveling. It was a group of people that were traveling. There was so much commotion because there were so many people connected to this particular person who was dealing with this medical condition at the moment. And for me, I went into the thought process for them. Guess one of the things that just popped into my mind? I wondered, has this person received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? My first reaction as a pastor was, man, we're a long ways away. This person has fainted. Has this person received the Lord Jesus Christ? And I went into a place of also thinking, has this person not only received forgiveness, but extended forgiveness? Jesus told that woman, your sins are forgiven. And that caused chaos in that place. Because the Pharisees like, who is this man who says his sins are forgiven? Told her, your sins are forgiven. But just like that person in the plane and just like this woman, there's a message behind the receiving of this forgiveness. Jesus says that I not only forgive you, but in that last verse, 50, it says, because you believed, you were saved from your sins. Now go in peace. Any human, Kevin Meyer says, any human being can have complete forgiveness from our sin, from all sin, no matter what. You can receive that forgiveness. The truth is, we have to come to a place where we position ourselves, well, our posture is such that we align ourselves to the degree where we say, Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. The forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ is part of the last acts that he did on the cross. Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they are doing. Forgive them. Of course, I will forgive you. I will remember you in paradise. It's what he said to the sinful man on the cross. Fam, forgiveness is not this little theme. It is the echo of God's love and intention for every single one of us. And as God has extended forgiveness to us, as we have proclaimed and have recognized that the forgiveness even ushers in the revival and the move of God, as we receive the forgiveness of God, God sends us out in peace. And in that peace, he sends us out with the purpose of being reconcilers, of ushering that move of God, of living in peace with each other. Elding Villafañe is a Hispanic theologian who writes about la calidad de la vida, the quality of life. And anyone that has been engaged in some form or fashion with hospice, you know, hospice comes in to talk, to give quality of life in those end times. My mother has Alzheimer's. It's been a really long journey. I stand with anyone who is experiencing that in some form or fashion. And on a constant basis, there's this conversation that goes on between the doctors and our family about hospice. about improving the quality of life. But fam, as I read what Elding Villafañe has talked about, this quality of life, why would we wait till our moment of death to receive and extend forgiveness? No, Jesus is saying, I forgive you now. Stand forgiven. Stand now forgiven. I want to forgive you now. While you have breath, while you have energy, so that you might have the quality of life. And Elding Villafañe talks about the quality of life between your relationship with God, receiving all God has for you, your relationship with each other, and your relationship with the community and the land. Some of you who are sitting here watching through live stream in different parts of this world, man, don't miss out on everything God has for you because of your inability to receive God's forgiveness. I'm recently coming out of a really difficult transition in my life, a difficult scenario. And I went through a situation where God said, let's see if you've really forgiven the way that you say you have forgiven. And I found myself face to face with the offender. And I had to come to a place where I said, man, I don't want that or that or that or that for that matter to get in the way of me receiving everything that God has in store for me at this time. My brothers and sisters, God has a plan for your life. Tú no estás aquí de coincidencia. It is no coincidence that you would be gathered at this point in time. It is no coincidence that God has brought me to this place. Would you stand forgiven? Do not allow anything to separate you. God is not concerned about what you have done. It's not the sin that God is concerned about. It's your response to the sin that God is concerned about. God is concerned of rescuing you. God seeks to rescue you from whatever that life is. So whatever you find yourself at in this morning, wherever you may find yourself at in your spiritual journey, brothers and sisters, grown-up faith is means that we will posture ourselves to receive the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that in receiving that forgiveness, then we will stand forgiveness and extend forgiveness to those who are part of our journey. So I have to pray. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you've known another kind of Jesus Christ, I want you to know God loves you. You don't know me. I don't deserve to be loved by God, but I am. And I refuse to live differently. So if you are listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in the name of the Father, the Son, may God reach your heart at this moment. Just tell the Lord, let me in. Let me into the good news. Tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Just right now, tell the Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us of our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Deliver us from the evil that surrounds us. We'll come before you saying, I'm sorry. Posturing ourselves, dear Lord, before your holy presence. Receive us in your kingdom. And for you, my brothers and sisters, who've been walking in this journey of faith, holding on to stuff, at a place uncertain, stand forgiven. Receive the forgiveness of God and extend the forgiveness to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.